This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Hello, everybody, and this is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. This episode, we are going to be doing a question and answer show. We asked our social media friends to give us their questions about raising sons, whether they're talking about little boys or even grown-up sons. How do you advise a grown-up son, maybe? And so we've got a whole list of questions here. We're looking forward to talking about these things with you. And we do appreciate all of you who have sent in questions. You know, we can't get to everything in a single show, but sometimes we'll be writing on our blog about some of these questions and maybe take a little longer to explain. And sometimes we'll be able to pick them up on a later show. So don't be discouraged if you send something in and don't see it right away. Be patient and stay tuned.
That's right. I see some of you have already logged in. I'm so glad to see that. Mm-hmm. We're going to be taking all kinds of questions. And we've got a list that we got on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But if you've got questions now, feel free to put them into the chat window.
Yep.
And if we can, we'll answer them there.
That's right. And how do they get to the chat window?
It's right there on halandmelanie.com/radio.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go to ultimateradioshow.com and click on our button.
Yep.
And you'll see it there. It's kind of red.
Yeah.
About halfway down. And just enter your questions. You can post them anonymously or sign in, and we will see them.
Well,
all right.
Well, let's kick off here. We've got one from a good friend that's coming in by email. She says, what do you do to let each kid be unique? She explains, I have one who still loves Legos at 14 and one who doesn't want to go to college but can fix anything. And the fix-it kid teases the Lego kid. I want them both to strive for what the Lord wants them to be, and I'm fine with both pursuing their interests.
I think part of the problem is boys are very competitive.
Right.
So they're constantly comparing, trying to figure out where they fit in the pecking order.
Yeah, that's true. And that's something that has to be managed, because I think the competition can be a good thing. And even practicing competition while at home and learning how to give and take can be good preparation for later adult life. But you don't want to be sowing discord between brothers.
No, and that's why you got to stop the teasing.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is just saying, no.
Uh-huh.
No. You don't tease people for who they are, how God made them, what they like. Just no.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to explain. You know, God made us all different.
Right.
If he made everyone an engineer, we'd all starve to death.
Mm-hmm.
If he made everyone farmers, well, let's just say we wouldn't have any cars.
Right.
And so, you know, it's important that we all be different. And it's easy to get all wound up in, my difference better than your difference.
Yeah.
But that's not right.
No, it's not. And you know, you can find good examples. There's good movies that deal with conflicts between brothers like this and get resolved. And, you know, here's a related question.
It is.
Another person had asked on our Facebook page, how do you teach your sons not to look down on their sisters for not being boys?
You don't tolerate it for a minute.
You don't tolerate it. And you know what? You don't let big sister look down on her little brother either for the same reason.
And, you know, what's embarrassing is sometimes they get that from us.
Okay.
Because we think it's funny to say, look at the boys. I know, I do it too. I have to stop myself. Look, you know, to make fun of the stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And use it to poke people, and then the kids just don't have the fine touch we think we have.
Right.
And so they tease each other and hurt each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we've got to be careful that we're not saying those things implying that women are better than men or men are better than women. Dad and mom got to watch their mouths.
Yeah, because, you know, we've heard friends making jokes at each other's expense, you know, the men teasing the women for their interests and for their little personal quirks and such, and the women rolling their eyes at the men because, you know, they take your pick. You can fill in the blank. You can probably write the scripts.
We've all done it.
I think we're all guilty of it to some extent. We got to be very careful. Our kids are not learning that from our bad example.
Yeah.
Because honest to goodness, you know what? That's one of the problems. That 8-year-old boy that thinks that all girls are icky is going to feel very different in a few short years.
I sometimes say that to him. I say, look, in a few years, you're going to be really glad God made girls different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we point that out. We point out that God made men and women. In fact, that's a good lesson for your boys to say, you know, God said, God made the planets and the stars and the plants and the mm-hmm. animals, and he kept mm-hmm. saying, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good. And he looked at the guy by himself and he said, this is not good.
It is not good for the man to be alone. And God intends for us to be working together to increase his kingdom as men and as women. And, you know, there's nothing wrong, nothing better or worse on either side.
It wasn't until there was a man and a woman that God said, this is very good.
Right.
And so teach your boys that.
Yes, indeed. And you know what? There's some good things, too. You know, if you've got boys and girls in the family, that's a great training ground to teach your young men to be gentlemen. How should they be treating the young women in their lives when they become, you know, eligible for marriage themselves, or when they are married, when they're husbands? You know, you want them to be courteous. You want them to know how to be a gentleman, how to be polite, you know, and how to recognize things that might be offensive to a young woman or to the nice lady that he married. You know, just to recognize that there's some obligations on a young man for courtesy toward women, and there's obligations on women for their treatment of men.
I think that really helps guys to understand how to be more compassionate.
Uh-huh.
You know, we just teach our guys about noblesse oblige, you know, trying to teach them, and you mm-hmm. can use that medieval theme to teach that, you know, knights were expected to be strong and gentle, to be
yeah.
mighty and use that power to protect, you know?
Right. And the fact that you are stronger than your sister does not mean that you are better. It means you have a responsibility
yes.
to use that strength to serve, to protect,
yeah.
and to bless, not to bully.
Right.
Now, somebody had asked a question about bullying in there. That's that might be a natural segue here.
Let's see.
Where was
it? Yeah, how do you keep their rough and tumble play as play and keep big brothers from being bullies?
That was something of a shock for you.
It was.
You know, even though you and your brother got along well and you played together growing up.
And we played pretty rough together too.
But I think it was a surprise to you when you saw how just boys just naturally go at it and wrestle and run and, you know, are just very rough with each other. And it's all in good fun. And that, they just think that's sport. That's the way life is best. And I think that was a surprise to you as a young mother.
I couldn't believe how rough they were.
Yeah.
You know, that I remember pulling up to a friend's house,
mm-hmm.
and the people just, I mean, the kids just flipped out. They just acted like maniacs.
And they acted like little boys is what it was.
Well, it seemed like maniacs to me.
You didn't recognize. Well, you know what? The other boy's father saw it the same way I did. Said, oh, okay,
right.
Natural
yeah.
boy behavior. Nobody's getting hurt. Everything's fine. Well, okay. I think that the rough and tumble play is natural for boys, and I think that it's good for boys because it does help them, you know, gain in strength and coordination. It helps them learn to deal with a little bit of discomfort, you know, the tumbling around, getting a bruise here and a scrape there. You know, they recognize that that's not the end of life for them. They're not going to bleed to death from a stubbed toe or whatever. And, you know, I think it's good to encourage young men to toughen themselves up a little bit that way.
Yeah.
But there can be misbehavior attached to it. And that's what she's asking. You know, how do you keep normal roughhousing of boys from becoming fighting and becoming bullying and persecuting kind of thing?
Well, once I figured out that mm-hmm. this is normal, the rule that I've had is that if anybody says no or stop,
uh-huh.
it has to stop immediately.
You know, when I was in the Air Force, they said in the pilot community, and guarantee you, I was not a pilot. That was not my gift. But I read and I was told that in the pilot community, when they are doing an exercise, when they're doing a mock fight in the air, or close maneuvering of any sort, if anyone called on the radio, knock it off. The rule was immediately disengage.
Yeah.
That's what you did if you were getting out of control. It's if there was an injury or a mechanical problem or something, you called knock it off, and that would immediately break off the mock dogfighting or whatever you were doing in the sky. And, you know, that is a rule we tried to adopt with our young guys, saying, you know, as long as everybody's having fun, then go ahead and have fun. But if anybody says, whoa, stop, you know, knock it off, you're getting too rough for me, you're starting to hurt me, not just, you know, not just to challenge me and stretch me and all, but that's actually hurting, then, yeah, you break it off immediately. And we tell our guys, if they call for a knock it off and you don't, now
you're a bully and you're in trouble.
Yes, and we are not raising bullies. So we take that very seriously.
And you know, I think that has pretty much cured it.
We haven't had much trouble. We don't let it go one minute.
I mean, they say stop, you best stop.
Yeah.
And that also gives them the freedom to play rough language, to wrestle and to cut up and do all those fun things got to do.
You know, and related to that, I guess there's some other discipline issues. You know, one thing I've found with the guys is often the incident takes place out of sight. They've been playing in another room. They're playing in the backyard or something, and somebody comes in crying. And
not one of my favorite things.
No, it's not. You know, and we find that in that kind of situation, it's good to get them both in together and to seriously ask and, you know, dig down and find out what happened. Because, you know, oftentimes big boys don't know their strength or they don't know the limitations that the little boys are playing with, and they do go over the line, and that has to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Sometimes little boys find out they can manipulate the adults. If things don't go their way, if they just burst into tears, sometimes they get an automatic judgment in their favor.
That's pretty annoying.
So you really do have to ask questions and find out precisely what happened. And then you can decide, okay, is this a matter that needs some correction and discipline, or is it a matter that needs to be some teaching? And sometimes it's even appropriate to tell, you boys need to work this out together.
Yeah.
Okay? It's all part of growing up and, you know, becoming a young man process.
Well, you know, here's a question you can answer pretty quickly.
What's that?
Tammy asks, our oldest is a high school junior. Where do we begin our search for scholarship opportunities?
I think your question, the first answer is, where does he want to go to college?
Well, because, you know, how people say they should be applying for scholarships off in high school. The problem is that outside scholarships that are not provided by the school, are nearly always, I'd say, counted against you when it comes to putting together your financial aid package. So if a college puts together a financial aid package and they've offered, say, the cost of attendance, that means everything.
Right.
Tuition, room, board, books, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But say the cost of attendance is $20,000, which is a very cheap college these days.
Right.
Okay. And you have a $10,000 scholarship and a $5,000 of grant money from the school.
Yeah.
And $2,000 of grant money from the government.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to pay $3,000. Mm-hmm. If you get a $3,000 scholarship, you're going to want to pay that $3,000 that you owe.
Right.
It's not going to.
It won't.
It will not. It will reduce the grant the college is giving you.
Ah.
It will reduce the college's donation to your education. So your best option for scholarship is college scholarships, the scholarships provided by the university.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the trick to that is you've got to apply to college early because the scholarship application deadlines are earlier than regular application deadlines.
And don't be afraid to do that because you don't have to give them an acceptance early.
Until May 1st,
You've got until May 1st of your senior year to make your acceptance. And, in fact, that's where the scholarship money is handed out as they are trying to recruit students in. Oftentimes, I know that with our first son in particular, there were some schools that made him one scholarship offer and it really wasn't going to cover his expenses, so he didn't immediately accept. And then they came back some time later and offered him more money to the point where at the end of the process, some colleges that had started off giving him just a few thousand dollars were basically giving him full scholarship yeah. as an offer. Okay.
And so the scholarships that each university provides are your best bet for getting scholarship money.
Yeah.
And you find those out by searching scholarship on the college's website, mm-hmm. by calling and asking the financial aid office, the applicant, and the admissions office,
mm-hmm.
and watch carefully, because in many of them, if you miss one little part, if you don't include the required essay or the face picture or something.
Or you sent them two recommendation letters and they asked for three.
Then they're looking for an excuse to exclude kids because they get so many applications.
Right.
You know what? And apply to a lot of schools. We did that with each of our children. They applied to a lot of colleges. If you have to the more money you have to go to school, the less money your family can provide,
yep.
the more colleges you need to apply to.
Wow. Yep.
And you have to don't let them fall in love with the college until they've seen the financial aid package.
So real.
Okay. But we need to take a short station break.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you to check out Boot Camp 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a boy in that 9 to, say, 14 age range that is making you pull your hair out?
Mm-hmm. He is an emotional wreck. School takes forever. Suddenly there's spiritual doubts and questions you've never heard before.
You ask him to do something. This is a boy that could do 5 errands in a row.
Yeah.
You ask him to do something, and you find him 45 minutes later wandering around the house.
Well, if you're like us, you may have felt the wheels just fell off this parenting endeavor.
I felt like a failure the first time it happened to us, Hal.
I know. He was so precocious, and we thought when he was 7 and 8, I'm thinking law school. And then when he was 11, I'm thinking reform school. I mean, it's just like it was that bad.
Yeah, they do get over it, but a lot of damage can be done between now and then.
Yeah.
But there's hope. There's mm-hmm. help. We can hold your hand, help you get through this. Go to raisingwillmen.com/bootcamp. We're not asking you to put him on a plane and send him to us.
No, this is boot camp for parents.
That's right.
This is for you.
It's a live webinar series.
Yeah.
You can miss live online. If you can't attend live, you can download it. It's mm-hmm. video, audio, chat. It's interactive. It's a lot of fun. RaisingWillMen.com/bootcamp. Our next session starts October 21st, so head out there and sign up.
That's right.
Okay
so
let's talk with some more questions.
We are looking at questions and answers about raising sons, and we've got a bunch of good questions from our friends out on Facebook. You can see us on Facebook several places, but one of the biggest is Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen.
Yeah.
And that's where we're getting our questions from tonight.
Okay.
Now,
here's a dicey one, Hal.
What's this?
My son is almost 9. How do I deal with the pre-puberty issues? His hands are inside his clothes constantly.
Well, okay.
Don't panic. Come down out of the tree. Don't panic. These things happen. And really, if you don't panic, you'll be able to handle it better.
You know what? This is, there's several levels to this, but one of the first ones is simple propriety. You know, it's not appropriate behavior in public, is it? Just like, say, if he was picking his nose.
Or scratching his behind.
You know, how would you deal with that?
Do you scream? See that in public?
Knock it off.
Don't do that.
Get your finger out of your nose.
That's the first step. And that's what you do when you see it, when you're around the house and he's around his other siblings, you say, stop that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Then you need to get him alone, and you need to say, look, let me explain something.
Yeah.
I know when you touch yourself, it feels good.
Right.
But those feelings are a very special gift God has given you for when you get married.
Yeah.
And until then, you need to keep your hands off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what? He's going to have more questions. It's a great time to answer questions, because you know what? He's doing that. He needs his questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet porn issue is so big right now. We're getting letters from people whose 7 to 9-year-olds are being exposed.
Yeah.
So you've got to talk to children about sexuality from a biblical context.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the hour that would take right now to talk about that in detail. So head out to our site,
mm-hmm.
raisingwillmen.com/ourstore.
Mm-hmm.
Scroll down, click on workshops.
Yep.
Okay. And you want the boys section, you can even go to raisingwillmen.com/CDs/boys. Look for Shiny Armor, your son's battle for purity. Even easier, go to raisingwillmen.com In the upper left-hand side, there's a button. It mm-hmm. says Raising Well Men's Guide to Purity Resources.
Mm-hmm.
Click on it. It'll give you lots and lots and lots of help, okay?
Okay.
So, great. Okay.
That's very good. Now, here's one. Okay. Stacy asks, what can we as parents do to help our faith become our boys?
Yeah, I'm writing a blog article that's related to that right now.
Okay.
I think I'll put it up tomorrow.
All right. So that's coming up soon.
Okay. But, you know, the most important thing is that you need an authentic faith.
You got to be real because, you know what, young kids, boys or girls, they are born with hypocrisy meters.
Boy, and that's
they
true.
They can tell a phony at a football field length.
Yes.
You know? And guess what? They can see right through you. Mom and Dad, you don't have to be transparent because you are transparent, like
yes.
it or not. And so, you know, that's the first thing is how's your faith? Do you really love the Lord? Are you really trying to serve Him? Do you think about Him often and submit yourself to His will and to the directions He gives in Scriptures? You know, if you don't, that's something you need to ask yourself.
And I think the second part, the first part is a relationship to God.
Right.
I think the second part is a relationship with your boy.
Yeah.
Because the love, the delight you show in your children, the relationship you have with them is mm-hmm. what makes them desire to have what you have.
Yeah. I'll tell you something, too. This is a little bit of a looking ahead, but one thing I've heard recently, and I've seen it in multiple places, is that you look at young people who are out of their parents' home and they're on their own and they're making their own decisions. The question of whether they walk with the Lord, stay active in church, have a real living faith, one of the early and one of the most consistent predictors is the relationship they have with their parents.
It is.
And so, you know what? Yeah, keep your relationship with God strong and work to strengthen your relationship with your own children.
And you know what? That is really more effective and more likely to have an effect. Of course, it's the Lord that saves our children.
Yeah.
But those are the things that really play out mm-hmm. that the Lord uses in our children's lives way more than any system or be sure you do this or be sure you do that.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a great relationship with your son and with your God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see.
Let's see what else we have.
Interesting questions here.
Okay, let's see. How about
this one?
Okay.
How do I get my son, age 6, comfortable praying in front of others?
Mm-hmm.
We pray as a family. My girls, ages 8 and 3, have no problem saying a short prayer in front of us, but it's a real struggle with him. I know that if he can get comfortable with it now, it'll be so much easier on him when he's older, leading others in prayer. Wise mama.
That is true. Now, it's also true, 6 years old is still pretty young.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's still going to be a little formulaic. It's not going to be a long, deep, eloquent prayer.
And in fact, at that age, you can say, honey, let me pray with you. Pray like right. this. And let him repeat after you a few times.
Yep.
So he gets used to hearing his voice out loud.
Right.
And he knows how to put a prayer together. Now, yes. you know, I know you're 3-year-old comfortable with that, but sometimes people are not comfortable because they're just not positive of what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so many people are afraid of public speaking. You know, they're scared that they're going to make a mistake. People are going to laugh at them. So you walk him through it.
And I know sometimes even myself as an adult, if I have a long list of things that I need to pray about, you know, even if I've been asked to pray in church, I might make myself a note or two. A 6-year-old, you know, that's still young for that. But there's nothing wrong with thinking, organizing your thoughts and saying, when I go to spend time with the Almighty, there's a couple of things I needed to be sure to mention to Him.
Well, yeah, when we have prayer requests mm-hmm. as a family, when we ask for prayer requests,
mm-hmm.
and we say, okay, you pray about this, you pray about that,
yeah.
the kids seem more comfortable because they know what they need to talk about.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, I think it really wise to keep encouraging him to pray in public, and as he learns to read the Bible
yeah.
in public. Because yeah, we see a lot of grown men that are uncomfortable with that stuff.
There's an interesting story I'll share. You know, I'm a history buff, and Stonewall Jackson, the Confederate general, was an adult convert. He was saved during the Mexican-American War, and was very, very serious about this that he had adopted. When he got back to his home in Virginia and began teaching as an instructor at the Virginia Military Institute, he was going to the Presbyterian Church there in Lexington, And he noticed that the men in the church were all called on to pray at different times during the church meetings. And Reverend White, Dr. White, didn't call on Thomas Jackson very much, new convert. And he went up to him and said, Reverend, I feel that it's my duty to be able to pray here in the assembly of the men of the church. And so I really earnestly request that you call on me. And so he was called on. And frankly, everybody cringed because the first few times he prayed, it was awful. It was halting.
It was painful.
Stumbling. It was a painful experience for everybody involved. And the Reverend White was very kind and a gentleman type of man. So he went to Jackson later and said, you know, I appreciate it, but really you don't need to feel that. We've got lots of qualified men. And Jackson was adamant. No, sir, this is my duty, and I must have the practice to overcome my failings on this. And they said, you know what? After a time, he became more comfortable praying in public. And at the time of his death, he was well known as not only a devout Christian, but an eloquent man before the throne of God. But boy, it started out rough. So don't feel bad if this is a little rough for your six-year-olds.
And you might share that story with your six-year-old.
I should find them for that. Yeah, that'd be good.
Boys love heroes. Help them understand that even a great man like Samuel Jackson, you know, a mighty military guy, can struggle with things like that too, and it's okay. And praise him when he does it. When he overcomes his fear, he shifts it. Praise him. Real quick, here's another question.
Yes.
What post-high school direction would you encourage them to take if they're not college material? Do you just let them make their own decisions? Do you nudge them in a certain path according to their interest, or just tap hands off? By the time our guys are getting to be 17, 18, we're trying to be mostly trusted advisors.
Right.
We're not going to tell them what to do with their lives, but we will suggest they think about different things. And I think that's your job, is to influence them to think about things, to say, okay, well, let's look at some options. Let's sit down, like, get a whiteboard and start brainstorming. How do you think you could support families?
You know, I think that's an important thing, is to really give our guys a vision from an early age that one day, in all likelihood, they're going to be husbands, they're going to be fathers, they'll need to be able to support a family. And even if God never brings them a wife, they need to be able to support themselves. And so they need to be thinking beyond mom and dad's care for them to, what am I going to do when I grow up? It's not just a matter of, am I going to be a fireman or a policeman or what, but just to say, I know I'm going to be working. That's what God wants me to do. And then start trying to find out what their giftedness may be. Okay, and we're not talking about anything really magical, but just look at it and say, is this little boy of mine, is he good dealing with people? Does he make friends easily? Is he persuasive? Does he seem to have a bent for leadership? That'll give you some ideas of some directions he might go. Maybe he's very quiet and doesn't deal with people, but he's really good with his hands. You know, he's a craftsman, and it might be an artist, or he might be one who tinkers with mechanical stuff.
Or just a carpenter.
Or just look for things that give you some, maybe he's good with animals. And try to develop those things and suggest some alternatives to them as they're growing up.
But don't limit them, because it's amazing what happens sometimes as they grow and develop and change. Some of our guys have ended up in things I never dreamed they would. And really, what we've got to remember, especially at home schoolers, because we've had so much influence in their lives, sometimes it's hard to let down. It is their life.
Right. And God has a call for them. And it's not necessarily going to be following in dad's line of business, or the most, you know, what seems to be the most obvious route to us.
Because we've seen some real tragedies of young men whose parents were so controlling that they just didn't want the young man to do what he felt like he was called to, and he just wandered around aimlessly for years until finally said, Mom, Dad, look, I need to be a man.
And sometimes the young man so desperately wants to please his parents that instead of seeking what God would have him to do, he tries to guess, what would make my dad the most proud? What would make my mom and dad the happiest? Rather than, you know, maybe God leads me in a direction he didn't expect.
So all that to say, I think your job as a parent is to help them think through things, help them figure out how God is leading them, and help them to think it through themselves, but it's their decision.
Yeah.
And sometimes that doesn't look like you want it to look. Sometimes they head directions and you just shake your head, but you know what? Some of us have to learn the hard way, and sometimes we parents don't have all the answers.
That's true. Well, it looks like we are out of time, dear. Do we have anything, any parting announcements or suggestions? We have some really exciting announcements to come up in the weeks ahead, so please stay
tuned.
Really
excited about some of these things.
And next week, is it next week we have an interview?
Okay, yes, next week we have Dr. Brian Ray of the National Home Education Research Institute talking about homeschool research. What research has been done on homeschooling.
Why that's important.
Why it's important, how homeschool graduates do. I can tell whether it's even something good to listen to research.
Yeah.
And so homeschool research next week, I think you'll love it.
Yeah.
And so join us next week, 9 p.m. Eastern. Download it from halandmelanie.com/radio or
find us on iTunes.
Find us on iTunes. And next week we're going to be speaking at Jeunesse Park.
Mm-hmm.
California,
right.
The Sierras at the Homeschool Family Camp.
Yep. So we hope you'll join us again as we talk about taking the truth of Scripture into the 21st century family. Till then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalAndMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.